Chapter 1. Dry Tinder, The Roots of the Crisis. The spark for the financial fire of 2008 came from irresponsible lending in America's subprime mortgage sector. But the turmoil in that chaotic, though relatively small, corner of the credit markets could not have created a global inferno if dry tinder hadn't accumulated throughout the entire financial system. The subprime meltdown was the immediate cause of the crisis, but there were deeper underlying causes that made a fragile system vulnerable to disaster. To understand the roots of the crisis, it's important to know why the spark ignited, but also to know what made the forest so flammable. And understanding the roots of this crisis is important to understanding how to reduce the likelihood and intensity of future crises. History doesn't repeat itself, but as Mark Twain supposedly said, it often rhymes. This crisis followed the pattern of epic crises of the past, mania followed by panic followed by crash, in the formulation of the economic historian Charles Kindleberger, with modern twists that made the panic even more difficult to anticipate and contain. It began, like every major crisis, with a borrowing frenzy, a credit boom during a time of overconfidence that went bust when the confidence disappeared. And the financial system reflected the overconfidence of the boom. Financial firms took on too much risky leverage. Much of that leverage was in the form of runnable short-term debt that could disappear whenever creditors got jittery. Much of the risk migrated to firms outside the traditional banking system, where regulation and supervisory oversight were inadequate and the safety net designed to protect banks in an emergency was inaccessible. And a wide range of financial institutions were too exposed to mortgages through direct and indirect channels, including the ubiquitous mortgage-backed securities that were considered safe during the housing bubble but became toxic once the bubble popped. That helped spread investor panic, from securities backed by shoddy subprime mortgages to all mortgage securities, and then to firms believed to be exposed to those securities, and even to firms believed to be exposed to other firms exposed to those securities. Panic is contagious. These problems can seem obvious with the benefit of a decade of hindsight, but they were not widely understood at the time. While all crises begin with credit booms, not all credit booms end in crises, and the financial system seemed more stable than ever in the early years of the 21st century. 2005 was the first year without a U.S. bank failure since the Depression. The boom was masking some serious long-term economic challenges for America: rising income inequality, persistently stagnant wages, slow productivity growth, a troubling decline in labor participation for working-age men. But overall, the U.S. economy seemed in pretty good shape. There was also widespread confidence that if the economy did stumble, the financial system would be resilient. It had, after all, weathered a series of modest recessions and other tests reasonably well in the previous decades, and banks seemed to have plenty of capital to absorb losses in case of a downturn. At the time, serious economists were arguing that financial innovations like derivatives, because of their purported ability to better diversify risks, had made crises a thing of the past. But financial crises will never be a thing of the past. Long periods of stability can create overconfidence that breeds instability, as the economist Hyman Minsky famously observed. It is during these boom times, when liquidity seems limitless and asset values seem destined to keep rising, that risk-taking tends to get excessive, posing dangers that can extend well beyond the risk-takers. Before the crisis, none of us fully appreciated the vulnerabilities that were building in our financial system. But none of us ever believed financial crises were obsolete, perhaps because we had spent so much of our careers thinking about them: Ben in academia, Tim in government, and Hank in markets. As a Princeton University economics professor, Ben had been a scholar of the Great Depression, the leading historical example of financial instability sinking the economy.